Welcome to the second half of A Voice of a People. My name is Linda Sims, and this is live here on This is WGH Talk. My name is Linda Sims. The name of the show is called A Voice of a People. Thank you for tuning in. Not only that, today is October 26th. Just wanted to make all of you aware, not that you're not aware, we only have 5 days left in October.
Mm-hmm.
We only have 29 days till Thanksgiving.
Wow.
53 days till Christmas. 66 days before we're looking at 2023. Right?
Right.
All things are in preparation already for 2023.
Yep.
Even your health care plans have changed. November is when you start changing what health care you want, you know. So all these things are changing. The leaves are changing and falling off the trees. So we're getting ready for winter's on its way, right?
Right.
Right. Now, I must try to get people to understand how to download that free app on your cell phone, laptops, iPhones, computers. Some have App Store, some have Play Store on your phone, iPhones or Androids. I have an Android and I have a Play Store, and it has a multicolored arrow that faces, that points to the right. If I hit that and it opens up, I can type in tune, T-U-N-E, space, I-N, right? And I can hit that, okay? And it's searching, looking for that app. So when that app comes and it says download, then you hit download. And it will download. And when it does, then type in WWGH. And you should have it. Now, I'm trying to help a gentleman here, my guest today, Jeff Porter, download his. And I think that's... that has become a problem.
My cell phone just won't do it.
Yes, for
like
my
you said, we think that maybe the Wi-Fi isn't working in here.
Right. Well, not on his phone, and not, I don't have it on my phone here at the station either. But I'm just really trying to help people find this app so they can listen to the show. If they miss Facebook Live, if there's a problem with Facebook Live and you can't hear the show, you know, you need to be able to hear the show. We want you to hear the show.
Yes.
Because we're not on regular radio anymore. Okay, so if you missed this show, please go into the archives. How can you go to the archives? By typing in your Google, www.wwgh1071.com. As long as you have the correct date, we're on Wednesdays and Thursdays from 10:15 until 12 noon. You can listen to every show that has been broadcast. Okay. So hopefully those of you can find it. Other than that, all I can do is continue to encourage you to download any other app you want. Maybe you want a Bath and Body Works app on your phone. Same process.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want a JCPenney app on your phone. Same process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how you get the apps on your phone. Okay. So, don't forget this. We also would like for you to call in to the show and be a part of our show. Be a part of our conversation by calling 740-383-9944. You don't have to give your name if you don't want to. And I know sometimes people say, oh, I'm on the radio. It's not like you're on TV because we can't see you.
Mm-hmm.
We can just hear you. So, we really would like for you to call in and be a part of our show. Okay, now, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. Starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street of Marion, Ohio. Phone there, 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Fruitproduce.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce, every third Saturday of every month. Okay? This will take place November the 19th. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please mark your calendars. Please share this information with others you know of that can benefit from free produce. We have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. The owner there is Cheryl Lee. Location is LaRue, Ohio. Phone 740-262-0939. I did share a thought for today, and it's titled Be Aware. And if I can find it again, I'll share it with you one more time, okay? These things get lost because I'm always on this phone trying to do something or find something. So we'll see what we have. Be aware. Okay. It's hiding from me. There it is. I found it. Be aware. The foundation of all spiritual growth and personal development is the awakening of self-awareness. Most people, however, are not yet self-aware of the majority of those are not aware that they are not aware of their self-awareness.
Okay.
Self-awareness is easy and begins with simply taking a mental step back and observing your thoughts, your feelings, your attitudes, and your actions. Whenever you do, you learn about ourselves. But when we do, we learn about ourselves, and the basis of personal change and growth is always learning. Step back. What do you see? What enters your awareness? What does it tell you? What does it show you about yourself? Don't judge it, just see it. Don't run away from what you see, just watch it. Accept it. Allow whatever is happening within your thoughts and feelings just to be. And suddenly you will find that inner peace which surpasses all pleasure. God says the peace that He gives us surpasses all understanding. Right?
Yep.
You can understand the peace that God can give you. You can be in the midst of a storm like Jesus was on that boat.
Yes.
And it became tempestuous, and it was roaring waves, and the boat was being rocked back and forth and up and down, and the disciples became very afraid.
Master, we perish.
Yes, you don't care? They said, you don't care that we perish? He's sleeping, yeah. Right?
Oh, ye of little faith.
And what did he do? He stood up and said, peace.
Be still.
And everything just calmed down. My guest today is Jeff Porter, the second half of the show. He was here first half as well. Jeff is author of a book titled Expressions of the Last Days.
Aren't you awfully glad I'm still here?
Yes, I am. Praise God. Hey, who would have known?
Yeah.
We have become buddies on the radio.
Yeah, we have. It's been fun.
Yes, it is fun. It is fun. And hopefully, those of you who are listening, please share with your friends, your neighbors, of how, you know, they can listen to the show. And
if you have a question or comment, you can call in.
Yes, 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 yes. And we do talk about the Bible quite a bit.
Yes, we do.
Life today and life to come.
Yep.
Yes, yes, yes. And last hour we was talking about...
Well, you know, I was at a Bible discussion group. And this guy said when they were being tossed about in that tempest, and Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, he said, why did he say that? What did he want from them? I always thought that was an interesting question because I couldn't answer it right away. I mean, they don't have God powers. They can't stretch out their hand and say, peace be still, unless God gives them the authority to do that. So maybe he was saying that they shouldn't fear that they're going to drown, but, you know, us human beings, we look around and say, this boat's taking on water, man. we're gonna run out of capacity here pretty soon and sink, mm-hmm. you know. So it's kind of a mystery why he said that. I'm not exactly sure why. What do you think?
I think that they had to answer in the boat, and they had seen the previous miracles that he had performed. He had just fed the people,
the 5,000.
You know, and I don't know how many other miracles he had done before this happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying, little faith, because here I am with you.
And you think you're going to perish.
Right, and all these things I have made possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they didn't understand. I really don't think they understood at that time.
Yeah, that's true.
Know? And then there came a time when he did open up their understanding. And the Bible tells you that he opened up their understanding.
Well, it's like the walk to Emmaus. You know, they didn't know who he was because he kept himself behind a veil. He purposely blinded them to who he was and then finally opened their eyes.
Do you think God deals with us like that today as well?
Yes, absolutely. He's done that to me. You ask a question, you know, you come across something in Scripture and you go, I don't understand that at all, Lord. Could you please explain that to me? And I get an answer like years later. And I would ask the question, well, why did you take so long? I forgot I even asked that question. You know, but apparently it's because we're not ready for the answer. He gives us the answer when we're ready.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Wow.
There are things that, I'll tell you something that bothers me is hell and the lake of fire for eternity. Seems kind of overdone. I mean, you know, how long do you have to be in an oven before you finally realize you've done wrong?
Hell is forever. Once you get there,
well,
you
hell gets
get out.
Tossed into the lake of fire.
Right, and it's forever.
Yeah.
It's a place
of. How could he do that? How could he do that to a person?
They do it to themselves. That's what I was always told.
Yeah.
Because he's giving you a chance, a choice. Choose life or death. It's up to you what you choose.
I know, but it's like you ever burn your finger on the stove?
Yes. I dropped a curling iron on my chest not too long ago.
Ow.
Curling my hair. Yes.
Oh, that had to feel good.
Oh, my gosh. It was terrible.
Whew.
And I mean, it burned.
Hours. Oh, really?
I can still feel it, yeah. Hours.
I just barely burned my fingers. What was I? Oh, I was jumping. I was giving the lawnmower a jump from the car. Tried to get it started. And the spark from the battery got me. This is a long time ago. This was years ago. But, man, that burn was severe. And I just had to keep pouring cold water on it. Keep it from killing me, you know.
I got something else to add to what you were saying about hell and why. God is a just God.
Yeah.
And first of all, God is holy. He's pure and he's perfect and he's never done anything wrong.
Right.
You know, he's infallible. He's immutable. He never changes, you know. He's incapable of doing anything wrong. But man is not God.
Not hardly.
And he has, this is God's plan he has set up. And as you were saying that, it made me think of some people saying, well, why does Satan have to be destroyed? You know, why does evil have to be destroyed? Why can't we just coexist together, the good and the evil? Well, we see where this is leading.
Well, I have people ask the question why God allows evil in this world to begin with. That's the question they ask more often. And have you ever seen, I asked him a lot of times, I'll show him this movie if possible. It's called Pleasantville. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen it?
I don't think so.
Well, this boy and girl, they're living at home with their parents, and they're arguing over the remote for the TV. And this guy, he was obsessed with Pleasantville. Pleasantville was like a setting in the 1950s and everything's perfect. You know, everybody's good morning, you know, and they eat breakfast before they go to school, and, you know, nobody's doing drugs or anything. and they get to fighting over the remote, and they drop it and break it, and then Don Knotts comes to the door as a TV repairman and gives them a strange-looking remote. And when they turn it on, they go whoosh, they go into the TV and go into Pleasantville. And they find out what it's like, and it's all in black and white, because it's an old show, you know. And they find out that everything being perfect is not so wonderful, you know. I think if God was going to give us free moral agency, He has to allow a certain amount of evil in this world in order for us to be able to make a choice.
He does. He allows it.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, there are things that happen that we can't understand, but see, that's the challenge. Are you going to continue to believe in Christ? Are you going to believe in Him no matter what? Or are you? Is it going to depend on what you see it here in this world, and then you flip-flop on it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's what that was about, was in Pleasantville. His sister was very loose morals. She went around and they didn't know anything about sex or anything.
Right.
You know, and she taught them. You know, took them out to the, had them go out to the, some remote park somewhere and taught them how to do that. And her brother was just incensed with that. He was like very, very angry. You can't ruin Pleasantville like that. But see, that's the way it was with the Garden of Eden. You know, if it would have stayed that way, they never would have known what evil was. See?
Well,
they had to experience. Evil is something you have to experience.
And evil showed up before.
It did, but they didn't know what it was. That's why they fell, I believe, a lot of times, is because they were so naive.
This is what I wanted the Lord laid on my heart to do. I thought I was going to do something else. So when I get here and open up my book, it says, every garden has a snake. And since you're talking about this,
yes.
I'm led to go ahead and do this.
Okay.
You live in an adversarial environment.
Right.
And it was from the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
When Adam and Eve was placed on this earth, it was already an adversarial environment. Whether you discern it or not, enemies usually win through surprise. The greatest weapon of an enemy is surprise. The United States discovered this with great sorrow when Japan attacked our ships in Pearl Harbor in the Hawaiian Islands. He says, I love animals, and I am very intrigued by the animals who are unguarded around other animals, while fearful of others. Sometimes instincts are so keen, a bad experience is unnecessary to verify an enemy. Trust can become a trap. I watched my ducks walk around the yard yesterday. They seemed calm. They were oblivious to so many potential dangers. A few feet away were several of my dogs that would gladly have ripped them to pieces, had I not controlled them on a leash. So what you're saying, Satan wasn't controlled, he wasn't on a leash. He was allowed to just do what he wanted to do to mankind, right? And trick them, right?
Well, he is on a leash.
Yes. Yes, he is. And see, even though he's still allowed to do so much,
but God will not allow him to do anything.
Right.
God will block some things.
Yes, he will, like he did when Job.
Right.
The ducks are unaware of the dog's nature and desire to destroy them. That makes you think about the devil, right? Okay.
Yeah.
We are unaware of his nature and desire to destroy us. And he says, my ducks were comfortable with me, contended around me, and assumed that my dogs on leashes were safe companions too. They were not. I have often wondered why God did not advise Adam and Eve about the presence of the serpent, Satan. He simply warned them. He simply warned them about the loss disobedience would create. Every garden has a snake. It is your personal responsibility to stay aware and guarded.
I've had a few times, not very many, where God warned me that a temptation was coming my way. I was listening to an audio Bible at night as I was drifting off to sleep, and I suddenly felt the Holy Spirit giving me a warning through what was being said on the tape. And he said, you know,
go ahead.
You got to be careful because, you know, there's a temptation coming your way. And so I prayed about it. I said, well, okay, Lord, what if I pray about it? Will that prevent it from happening? And it did. He didn't say anything about it, but he did prevent that temptation from happening.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, you know, but I haven't, very seldom have I had God warn me like that. That there was Satan was going to try something, you know. Most of the time, you know, when you get attacked of Satan, you just get attacked.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, I know. One time, I thought I was in a dream. I think I was dreaming this, but it was like I was at the back door of my house, and when I went back there, I don't know. I can't remember whether there was a knock at the door, why I was even at the door. But there was a dark presence.
Mm.
I could see the figure of it
mm-hmm.
back there, mm-hmm. you know. And that was a warning because after that, I was under spiritual attack all the time
mm-hmm.
for a while, you know.
And of course, you prayed about it.
Yes, I prayed about it. At least I thought I did, but I guess this was going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The spiritual attack.
Yeah, I understand.
It was a dark present, like it had on a hood and all that type of
Satan.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I woke up, like, immediately.
How many times? I've had so many dreams where I woke up and I go, oh, it was only a dream. You know?
Yes, I do know. I do know. So, let's try to unlock some of the keys that God has given us. Why there is a Satan. Why he allows evil.
Because we have to be, we're given a choice. That choice has to be there, and actually, you know, it can't just be passive either. I mean, you know, you become a Christian, and Satan's not just going to sit there and go, oh, that's nice, you became a Christian, well, I won't bother you. You know, but you are who he bothers. He doesn't even bother with unsaved people. He bothers Christians. You know. Why? Because they're a threat to his kingdom. They might get somebody saved. You know, they build ministries. They help people. They change people's hearts with the Word of God. And secondly, because he is in the sense that he lost you. You're a person that was lost and on their way to hell, and now they're on their way to heaven. He don't like that, you know, and so he's going to bash you because of that, you know. And it's really frustrating to me, like, I, you know, when I used to drive city buses, where I noticed it the most is, like, the average unsaved person, they don't have a clue as to what this world is all about, and they don't have a clue that you're being attacked of Satan, sometimes through them, you know.
Yeah, he uses whoever.
Whoever's willing to be used, you know.
He uses us as Christians.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not off the radar, off his
no.
radar either. You saw.
Yeah, that's really strange, too.
Yeah.
It's like he told Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes, he uses us, too.
Yeah.
So, like I said, it's only God's grace that I'm not out there destitute and lost.
Yeah.
You know, those of us who are on our feet. Because the Bible says, you know, he that thinks he stand,
yeah,
lest you fall. You know, so we
let
can't.
Let him take heed, lest he fall.
Take heed, lest you fall. Because we can't think that we're up on the mountaintop and can't come down.
Yeah.
Because you can come tumbling
down. Oh, God's taught me about that.
Yeah, you can come tumbling down. So it's not that we should be trying to judge people or maybe trying to understand, but, you know, we live in a a fallen world. We live in a world of sin. But as this story was saying, no, they were not warned that Satan was there and that he had tried to overthrow God's kingdom and had left with a third of God's angels, right? He didn't tell them all that story. But he simply warned them about the loss of disobedience, through disobedience.
Yes.
What it would create. And this is what he's telling us about hellfire. This is a warning. Whether we want to believe it or not, whether we can understand it or not, this is not our story. This is not our plan.
That's
this is
right.
God's plan. This is God's story. We're just merely participants in it.
Yes.
So, is either you believe God? He says, I am the way, the only way to God. This is what Jesus said. I am the only way to God and to heaven.
I am the way, the truth,
and the
life.
I'm the only truth. Only truth that exists is Him, Himself. You know, and the life, He offers the only life worth living. Now, if Jesus is offering you life, and He says, I offer you this day good and evil, life and death, choose life.
Yes.
Like Jeff said last hour, that means choose Christ.
That's right.
So, He's warning us. Now, if you don't, this is what's going to happen. Just like you warned Adam.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not going to do what I asked you to do,
yeah,
then this is your fate.
Well, I know that sin can only be erased by the blood of Christ.
Yes.
For one thing, if you die and you still got sin, the unforgiven sin, then it's still held against you. God can't allow sin into the kingdom of heaven.
No. Right. Why did the devil get kicked out?
Yeah.
And a third of the angels.
He rebelled. And he can't come under the blood.
He's not going there. Sin is not going to be in heaven.
No.
It's not. Fornication is not going to be in heaven. Lying and stealing is not going to be in heaven.
Right.
Covetousness is not going to be in heaven.
Right.
Effeminate people are not going to be in heaven. Except you be changed. Change your mind, your way of thinking.
Effeminate. What does that mean?
Effeminate means... I looked it up before. I think it's people that trying to be different
sexually.
Yes, like I'm
like
trying to
men
be a man.
Trying to be.
I'm trying to
sissy.
Be a man. Right, right. They won't make it either.
Mm.
No, and it tells you that. I think it's in Romans and also Revelation. It tells you again, or even though liars, they won't be there either.
Yeah,
they won't be there. Or drug addicts who can't give up their drugs. Under sorcery. That's called under sorcery.
Yes.
Drug abuse is under that term. So, it's not going.
Yeah.
I see you didn't bring your Bible. You left it in your
car
again.
I don't know
you?
If it's in the car or what. I was looking for it because I didn't see it in the car. So, it's probably in the back seat or something.
I thought you put
I just
it up
saw
there.
That scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have your Bible either?
No, I don't. And I have my cell phone, but I don't have the internet, so I can't pull it up. I just know that it's in there.
Okay.
And
that's all right. That's what I figured it meant.
And if I'm guilty of that, and I never received the Lord Jesus Christ, before I depart this world, my fate is sealed.
Yeah.
Once I'm dead and gone, I cannot change my mind.
I know a person that I've talked to over the years, that a couple of them, that know that Jesus is the truth, and they still don't want Him.
And they don't have to.
No, they don't. But I say, you know, I've asked him this one particular, I said, where are you going to spend eternity? You know, are you sure you want to spend eternity in hell? You know, in the lake of fire?
See, people have a misconception when they leave
this
world.
They don't think they think they can talk to God on the Day of Judgment and say, well, this is why I did this. And He's going to go, oh, okay.
No, He's not. He's not. And those of you who do have YouTube, they have like little clips on there about the Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
The Judgment Seat of God, the Judgment Day, and how people are going to have to, we're all going to have to appear before Him and give an account of our life, the good and bad that we have done. Okay? So, if your name has not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going to heaven.
That's right.
And what has qualified us to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, Jeff? What qualifies you?
You have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to come into your heart, ask for forgiveness of your sins, and be born again.
Yes.
Any man in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, that can only happen because of the blood of Christ.
Right.
You know, 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In other words, before you get saved, the cross is foolishness. It's ridiculous.
Right.
You think, oh, what, the Christians are crazy.
Right.
You know.
You can't understand it.
No.
I didn't understand it.
I didn't either. You know.
But you
I made
want
fun
to.
Of it.
Right.
I
you
made fun.
Want to. Right. You do.
But I was searching, though.
Right.
I was searching for truth, but you can only understand it when God quickens your mind.
See, what do? He calls us. Not only does He save us, He calls us.
Yeah.
We're not looking for God. Not one moment or second of your life have you ever looked for God. Have I ever looked for God? He was looking for me. He was calling me. He was beckoning me. He was pulling me by His Spirit. He was serenading me with His love, just like a lover serenades someone they want to be in love with. You may sing to them or give them gifts or flowers and, you know, just tell them how beautiful they are or how nice they may be. God serenades His people. He's calling.
Yeah, He does.
You know, He's beckoning you. You know, He's saying, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart against me. Like he
Call on God while He may be found.
Yes, like He did Pharaoh. He hardened his heart. He was more concerned about the idols of the world being his answer, not the God of Moses.
That's right.
Not the God of Moses. And Isaac and Jacob and Abraham. Yes, that's the God. The great I Am, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
He's
Amen.
The one. He's the one. Now, if you think you're going to negotiate with Him.
On the Day of Judgment.
I've been there before, Lord. You would not stop me from having this pleasure or being able to do this. I've been there in my mind before.
Yeah.
It wasn't hurting anybody. You know what I'm saying? So why couldn't I indulge? But no. No. Because it
was that before or after you got saved? I'm going to say I'm going to complicate things.
Yeah. Here. Yeah, of course. I mean, you can be... I think you can be in between.
Well, you could still sin as a Christian. We know that.
Yes. And I think it's in between. But... You know, when I left Marion and moved to Georgia, I don't think I was ever so saved than
really?
When I was there. I'm just serious because the person I left here as, I did not return as that same person.
Well, I remember when I got saved at McDonald's with a friend of mine. And it for one thing, I wasn't even sure what happened to me. You know, and then later on, and things began to change inside of me slowly. But there was so much I didn't understand. And I didn't understand Christian language, you know, them talking all this religious stuff. I didn't get it. You know, for a long time I just didn't understand it. I had a lot of questions. And over the years, God answered those questions.
Yes. Yes, He does.
It took a long time.
Yes, He does.
That's why I like to introduce apologetics to people. I say, go home, get on your computer, and type in apologetics. And you'll find all kinds of stuff in there that helps answer questions. You know, it doesn't answer every question.
Right, right.
But it answers quite a few of them.
It doesn't. And, you know, just like you were talking about them being naked in the garden, they really didn't know until they sinned. You know, there are many people walking this earth naked, and they feel this nakedness, and they feel this void, and they're out there searching for something to fill it and to cover them, and they're just not finding what they're looking for, because they're not looking to the only answer that there
are
is for mankind.
Are they willing to accept the truth?
And a lot of people are not. Why is that the only answer? Why is Christ the only answer? Why is God the only answer to me fulfilling my void? Yeah. Right. Isn't there, what people say, isn't there another way to heaven?
No.
Other than coming through Jesus Christ?
No, because there's no other way to get your sins forgiven. You know. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You could use that scripture there, just that one alone, to tell you that you can only be saved through Christ, because he's the only one that dissolves those sins.
He paid the price.
Yeah. You won't find that in any other belief system.
So, even as an atheist, now, Jeff, you said you were atheist at one time.
Yeah.
Did you believe or think that there was a heaven or a hell and you had a destination to one or the other as an atheist?
No, I did my best to blank out heaven and hell and all that. I thought it was convinced myself that it was religious nonsense.
Oh, okay.
Because, and I asked a lot of people, you know, what bothered me was, and still does really, is why Christians don't ask questions. You know, they don't say, well, why is that? What does this mean? What does that mean?
Right.
They just accept it, you know. The only problem is ever with it, that's okay in a way, that's all right. That's almost like saying that you have faith. But on the other hand, when some new doctrine comes along that seems similar to Christianity, they'll just swallow it, hook, line, and sinker, without asking any questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's bad. But, no, I blanked all that out because there was a time when I was a kid that I felt guilty about certain things that I did. And I got to the point where, you know, and you have these reoccurring sins, and you say, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling forgiven. I'm not feeling like I'm making any progress to stop it. So I'm just going to throw it out. I'm going to throw out the gospel, throw out church attendance and all that, and just forget it. And so I dived into science quite a bit back then. And I found out later on that science wasn't really the big answer. It wasn't a big answer for me because I didn't have the qualities you need to be a scientist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I did learn a lot.
Right. Because I wondered about that. So the atheist, he really disqualifies the idea of heaven and the idea of going to hell.
Because
he just exists.
They don't think that there's such a thing. You know, they're not going to rely on such a thing as faith.
Right. So they just live their life and they think that's it. And when they die, that's it.
Yeah, they go into oblivion.
Yeah. Okay. Oblivion.
Yeah, it's just nothingness.
Woo. Yeah. You know, if, you know, I witnessed my dad, his last days.
Mm-hmm.
We took care of him at home. And we took turns watching us siblings, you know, because my mother had already passed. And we took turns, you know, taking care of my dad. And it was my night to watch him. Now,
mm-hmm.
He had prostate cancer and it had already spread to his bones, right? So his bones was kind of breaking every now and then, you know. And he couldn't really walk. We didn't think he could walk. We had him in a wheelchair, pushing him around and stuff like that, you know. And my watch.
Yeah.
And I'm on the couch and his bedroom was downstairs, right? And the doors were open. And I know my dad was in that bed when I went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard something, some kind of commotion, and it woke me up. And I looked, and he was on the other side of the room. And I'm like,
standing up?
He was sitting down in the chair, and I'm like, Dad, how did you get over there?
Mm-hmm.
And he said this. He said, those people came to get me, and I am not going with them.
What people?
He was dying.
Oh, so the angels came to get him?
The wrong angels.
Oh, the demons.
He said, I'm not going with them. He said, they came to get me, and I'm not going with them.
Whoa. So did he get saved?
He had already given his life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Just like many of us.
So
just like the body of Moses. Moses had sin, and even though God forgave Moses,
yeah,
the devil thought that he should have Moses' body. Remember, they contended
yeah
over that body. They fought over Moses' body, God, the angels of God, and the devil.
Mm-hmm.
So because we sin, the devil thinks he has free recourse to take us.
Mm-hmm.
So each of us that dies, he tries to take us first. But
probably.
God says no. And I saw that with my dad. And it was a few days later he died.
Huh.
In peace. Smile on his face.
So he had
people.
You knew that he had accepted Christ.
I knew he had accepted Christ, but I also knew there was a dark world that thinks they have ownership of your soul because we are sinners saved by grace.
Yeah. They don't understand grace, do they?
No. No. And the devil said, he belongs to me. And God said, no. Nah. The blood. The
so
blood.
I,
the blood.
I had a boss. The bus is now. He was a good boss. He was a really good bus boss. But he was very anti-Christ, anti-God, you know. He just had a very worldly attitude towards the gospel. I remember one day, I didn't remember when I did it, but I explained grace to him. So I said, you know, Jesus said all sins and blasphemies will be forgiven man. And he showed up one day at the transfer point and said, I don't believe that God forgives all of your sins like that. He says, what if a person goes into a bank and kills four or five people, taking the money, robs the bank of money, and on the way out it kills four or five people before he gets out? And I said, you know what, that is just, you know, and then he gets saved. Now, how can he be forgiven for killing all those people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them went to hell. He said, there's two or three of them that went to hell after he killed them.
Wow.
And I said, you know what? His name was Dick. He was a great guy. I said, that is just how outrageous God's grace is.
Yes, amen.
It's outrageous.
Amen.
That he would forgive us of such a heinous sin. But he does.
Right.
If you're willing to accept him as this your Savior, he can forgive you of everything that's ever happened.
Right.
Up until then.
Absolutely. The ultimate surprise.
And that is outrageous grace.
Yes, it is outrageous grace. But it's true grace. It's a true story.
Yeah.
You know, these things actually happen. You know.
I can't imagine the suffering he went through on that cross, that day that he was sent to the cross.
And you know, and if people would read their Bibles, even in Isaiah it says, God looked around to see who could save mankind. He looked to man, he looked to woman, he looked to animals. No one was able to save mankind. So he says, prepare me a body.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare me a body. I will go and do it. He said, and I looked at my arm and it sufficed me. I will go and do it myself. So God was incarnate in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It was a spirit, you know, because God is spirit. He's not man. But he incarnated in that body. And he walked this earth. He talked. He ate. He chose 12 disciples. One of them were lost. The son of perdition. Judas. He didn't make it to heaven.
Yeah.
He did not make it. So, and the question was, why does God allow evil? Why are we destined to go to hell if we don't do what God wants us to do? And we went all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And it says, I have often wondered why God did not advise Adam and Eve about the presence of the serpent, Satan. We all wonder about that. He simply warned them about the loss of disobedience, what caused them. Okay? And that's what God is warning us today.
Mm-hmm.
There's a consequence to our actions of being
yes
disobedient. Because he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People today with Jeff Porter, my guest. Would you want to say bye, Jeff?
Bye.
Bye. So hopefully you will be with us tomorrow. It'll be politics tomorrow. So hopefully you'll listen in from 10 until 12 noon tomorrow. Thank you so much for your devotion and being a part of our show. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion.